You know the answer to that one, Ryan.
Yeah, maybe.
Christy was lying on the bed, worrying at a ragged edge of fingernail.
Reckon we should spring Doc and run for it?
Ryan ran his fingers through his hair, checking how dry it was.
If I'd been back a half hour sooner, we could have left the girl in the bath and jumped out of the ville. Could probably have gotten away bloodless and free.
Now?
Ryan rubbed his chin, realizing he could do with a shave.
No, not now.
He tried the radio a half hour later, standing outside the window of his room, not wanting any of the sec men or Traven's spies to watch him. He angled the integral aerial toward the west, aiming it roughly in the direction of New Mexico. Working as accurately as he could, Ryan turned the fine needle to the 100 mark. There was a digital screen with a liquid crystal display, but it was malfunctioning, repeatedly showing only a straight row of sixes. Once he had it as close to the 100 as possible, he switched it to send.
Come in, Jack. This is Ryan calling from Florida. Come in, Jack.
He switched to receive. The unit had a volume control, and so he turned it up to the maximum level.
Damn.
He turned the needle to send again.
Jack, come in, Jack. Are you there? Christina, are you hearing me? Jack, Dean, are you there? Calling anyone down there? This is Ryan Carter calling out on the 100 wave band to anyone there. Jack, come in.
Ryan shook his head. JB leaned out of the nearby window.
Any luck?
No.
Didn't think there would be.
Me neither. I thought that...
Ryan tried transmitting again, the ribbed mic close to his mouth.
Jack, is that you? We heard something then, Jack. Faint and broken. Is that you? Over.
Ryan switched the set off and slipped it back into his coat pocket.
We'll try again later.
Hiding Sky's stiffened corpse proved easier than Ryan had feared. Several of the unoccupied rooms in the motel had their doors open. While Mildred and Christy kept watch, JB and Ryan carried the body, in its dripping shroud, along the passage and into one of the rooms. The one-eyed man had already noticed that the ceilings of the suites were only plastic tiles, some of them ill-fitting and damaged.
Get her up there. Just as always, she'll be away from the ville before anyone tracks her down.
Another day or so, and you'll be able to smell her from clean across the other side of the park.
Ryan had seen enough chills to know that Mildred was correct. Already, despite their efforts to keep her cool, Sky was showing the unmistakable signs of deterioration. The flesh around the wounds was corrupting, and her skin was starting to discolor. The soft tissues of her body were rotting, and the smell of decay floated around her like an obscene perfume. The corpse seemed to have a bizarre life of its own, slipping and sliding as the two men fought to stuff it into the roof void above the abandoned bedroom. Twice the dead girl somehow contrived to slither clean out of the makeshift shrouds, landing in Ryan's arm, as slippery as a netted salmon. But at last it was done, the body jammed into a corner, a length of torn blanket holding it tight to an angled joist. The ceiling tiles were replaced, and the room tidied to remove any sign of what had been done. The two old friends paused in the doorway, looking around for a last check.
You think about death, Ryan?
At times like this, you mean? Bloody-hearted little bitch goes six deep and...
Ryan shook his head.
Christy has some old saying about no man being an island, and that every death touches everyone.
You figure that?
Ryan pulled the door of room 237 closed.
Nah. Anyone near gets chilled and you feel the touch. Not someone like this. Nah. Doesn't touch me at all.
The girl's clothes had been carefully sliced up and flushed down the toilet. So had the blood-stained bedding. It was as though Sky had never been. The rapping on the window made them all jump.
Shit, it's Kelly. Looks like he's seen a ghost.
Ryan was first across the room to slide back the heavy glass panel.
What is it?
The sec man was breathing hard, as though he'd just completed a crippling triathlon. Sweat streaked his face, soaking the collar of his uniform.
Gotta go. Shit's hitting the fan. Traven's fed dream to the old man. Stoned him from the inside of his skull outward.
They hurt him?
Nope. Not whipped or cut or anything like that. Look, I gotta go. Traven wants you, Ryan. Wants you and wants to know where the boy's hidden.
You said there was a plan, Kelly. He managed something that was nearly a sickly grin.
Yeah, there was. Now there isn't.
And there's Kelly!
Shit!
Kelly looked away to his left.
Like I said, gotta go.
Good luck.
Sure.
Kelly vanished.
I got him!
Government model Colt 45.
Less than 10 minutes later, there was the sound of boots in the corridor outside the room, and half a dozen SecMen, faces tight with excitement, burst in, accompanied by one of Traven's faceless, pretty little girls.
He wants you.
She pointed frantically at Ryan, like a shaman indicating a victim for a human sacrifice.
Why not?
Ryan walked alongside the young woman, watching her out of the corner of his eye. Though she was shorter and fatter than Sky, there was still a strange resemblance.
What are you called?
Rainbow.
Pretty name.
Go fuck yourself, you stinking heap of riding shit.
It quite seriously crossed Ryan's mind to draw the Sig Sauer and put a 9mm round through the side of Rainbow's head. But that would do nothing to help Doc, so he simply bit his lip and walked on in silence. Centerpoint dominated the park, dwarfing even the spidery framework of Paraglide Paradise. Ryan noticed that there was unusual activity, with several groups of Boss Larry Secforce moving nervously along the winding maze of swept paths. Ryan turned to the young guard at his elbow.
What's going on?
The man ignored him, keeping his brutish face turned resolutely to the front. They reached the Baron's headquarters.
Hunting in the swamps?
Once again, he got no answer from anyone. Noticeably, it was Rainbow who was in charge of the patrol, holding up her hand with its bitten nails to bring them to a halt.
Wait here. You, Ryan, come in with me.
What were those gunshots?
The girl favored him with a gap-toothed smile.
Just clearing out some rat holes.
Another of the posse of pubescent females was in the lobby, and she waved Rainbow over, whispering something in her ear, bringing a widened smile. They both went to join Ryan near the bank of elevators.
Up the top.
Are you coming?
No.
No, that's a shame.
Fuck you two.
Ryan breathed slow and easy as the cage slid toward the top of the tower. The only important thing to do, now that Dean was safe, was to rescue Doc from Traven, and then get the hell out of Green Gladesville. When he reached the revolving top of the building, the door slid open. Ryan stepped out, his hand on the butt of his blaster. His senses were prickling, anticipating a sudden and violent attack. The lobby area was deserted. But he could hear laughter from the big room inside. The semi-darkness stank of putrefying food, smoked dream, and sex. Ryan cat-footed his way past the dividing rail that separated the two slowly moving sections of the tower. He paused, still invisible in the shadows.
As I order it, so must it be. As I ask, so shall you answer. As I speak, so shall you listen. As I smile, so shall you laugh. As I frown, so shall you weep. And as I chill, so shall you die.
As speaks Adraven, man's son, so shall it be.
Ryan was reassured by the coldness of the metal butt of his Sig Sauer. There was something infinitely frightening about this liturgy of blind obedience and the implicit binding of their souls to the diminutive madman.
He's a friend, a loyal friend. He's been with me longer than anyone in the Ville. You promise?
Here and now.
Then I will. Just go ahead and do it, but don't bother me.
After that, I'll ask the old man more. How they got here, jumping in from no place. He'll tell me. Where the kid is, what's happened to Pretty Little Sky. Lots of questions, and then lots of answers.
I shall see you rotting in the lowest circle of Purgatorio before I give you one mite of information, you loathsome vermin.
Ryan chose that moment to step out from the blackness into the half-light. His eye had adjusted to the dimness, and he was able to take in the whole of the squalid tableau with one raking glance. The two mutes, standing together by the farthest window, arms around each other, stared blankly out across the swamps. Half a dozen